From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears, here with my co-host, Dominic Pachaco. Before we get into the podcast, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. All the information on your Arizona Wildcats is all at your fingertips. You can also subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. Dominic, it's been a while since we've been in the studio. How you been?
Back at it.
Back at it again, man.
I'm ready to get back at it. It's time.
I'm excited.
It's time. We got a lot on the plate today.
Absolutely. We have a guest, Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Joined you on ESPN earlier Friday.
That is a name I know perks up the ears of a lot of Arizona football fans. We'll hear from Ken Niumatalolo coming up in just a little bit, celebrating the life of former U of A head coach Dick Tomey, who passed away earlier in May after his 5-month battle with cancer. You know, Dom, we've been providing all the coverage on Dick Tomey and his life. And I mean, you know this, you know, reading through all of his former players, hearing all of his former players and the people that he's touched over the years. You know, it's truly amazing. You know, and I'm honestly lost of words right now, because as we record this, you know, I'm still thinking about the funeral that happened Friday morning at McHale Center. There's a funeral service for Dick Tomey, Arizona's all-time winningest head football coach. And you know, when you get into a funeral like this at McHale Center, I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my first funeral that I covered. It's weird saying that.
Right, yeah.
But, you know,
or maybe not even say it like that. It was the first funeral you went to for
work purposes.
Yeah, for journalistic.
Yes. You know, and
reasons.
You know, Dick Tomey and I really didn't know each other. Honestly, like we talked to each other a few times. But you know what's crazy is we never met in person, but he knew who I was, mm-hmm. because he's just that cool of a guy. Mm-hmm. You know, when I had him on, you know, the radio show to, you know, kick off the Arizona football season, he was on our Arizona football preview show on ESPN Tucson.
Yeah.
And myself, Ryan Finley, Michael Lev, you know, we talked to him. We had a great conversation with him. And then the next day, when Michael Lev and I are doing our pregame Facebook Live, Dick Tomey, you know, we kind of make eye contact. He points at me, kind of gives a little half smirk, and then he starts walking over, realizes we're on Facebook Live, uh-huh. and Lev and I were like, no, come on, like, come on, come join us. Like, we want you to talk about mm-hmm. Arizona football. And he was shy at first, then got on, was just super genuine, such a great guy. And I, like I said, my interactions with Dick Tomey were very limited, but hearing the stories at his funeral today, it was very moving. I mean, speakers from all over the place, you know, not only just the United States, but people came from around the world to see, you know, or to talk about their head coach, Dick Tomey. And from Dick Vermeil, mm-hmm. former NFL coach, Mac Brown was in the building as well. We all know about Mac Brown, what he's done in the college football landscape. Ken Niumatalolo, which we'll talk to in just a little bit. Joe Salavea, Kelvin Ifon, Chuck Cecil, Glenn Parker, Greg Byrne, former Arizona AD, now at Alabama. He flew out all the way to go to Dick Tomey's funeral. Mm-hmm. Former Arizona AD Jim Livengood was there. Like, you know, faces that I haven't seen in years showed up there, and faces that I had no idea had a connection to Dick Tomey. They were there at that funeral. And Dom, I'll tell you the one thing about this. For a guy that is the winningest head football coach at two college football programs, football was talked about maybe for a grand total of 10 to 15 minutes.
That's exactly the point I was going to bring up. And it sounds cliche to say about any sports figure who passes away, you know, saying he was more than just a coach. You know, we see that all the time, and it's been, you know, talked about. Dick Tomey, that's been the main theme, is that he was more than just a coach, but it's really true. I mean, it might be overplayed, but that's absolutely the narrative here with Dick Tomey, is he brought together a family. I mean, all the names you just listed, Justin, they're all brought together really because of Dick Tomey and the impact he had off of the football field. I'll echo what you just said, and I've said it before. I don't hear a lot of people talk about him as a football coach. And that's originally what he was known for. I mean, he's the winningest coach at two schools, and nobody talks about him on the field. It's all about the impact he had off the field, how he touched people's lives and impacted people away from the sport of football. And it's really special. His presence in Tucson will never go away. He'll always be one of the biggest names in town. Similar to the way Lute Olson is with the basketball program and with so many people in Arizona. Dick Tomey never won a championship. He never got the Wildcats to the Rose Bowl. Got close.
Very close.
But that still shows you he still has that kind of impact similar to Lute Olson. And he didn't have the success, the same kind of success on the field, but off of it, his reach was just as far.
Former Arizona AD Sed Dempsey shared his stories on, you know, Dick Tomey and when he first hired him.
Yeah.
Back in, was it 1987? I believe it was. That was his first year. Dick Tomey was currently, at the time, the head coach at the University of Hawaii. And he was mulling over the choice to come to Tucson. Dick Tomey asked Cedric Dempsey, "Does it get hot there in Tucson? Does it get hot there?" And Sed Dempsey said, "Oh, you know, it gets warm. it gets warm.
Tucson? No.
Tucson?
No, no, no."
Well, when he flew out to Tucson to check out the campus, Sed Dempsey met Dick Tomey. And Dick Tomey was wearing Bermuda shorts and thong sandals, and it was snowing in January. And he was sitting here asking, "Does it get warm over there? Does it get hot over there?" You know, that's Dick Tomey, because he was Hawaiian deep down inside. I Dick Tomey was a Polynesian at heart. And that, you know, that's one thing that, you know, another takeaway from, Friday morning's funeral was, it was, Joe Salavea. You know, he said this, said Dick Tomey would go to Hawaii, would go to American Samoa, would go to Fiji, would go to New Zealand, you know, that Pacific part of the world, the Southern Pacific part of the globe. And anytime he went to those islands, they would greet him. Like, they would hug Dick Tomey because of how he propelled, or how he changed the Polynesian football culture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unbelievable. And, you know, that's why Joe Salavea said, you would have thought he was Polynesian himself, the way our people treat him every time he went to the islands. And, you know, Dick Tomey, not only with the Polynesian community, Kelvin Ifon, African-American running back. He was great in the late 90s. Today at the funeral service, he said, "Coach Tomey told me that he loved me." And that was the first time anybody outside of my own race told me that he loved me.
Wow.
Because he comes from South Dallas, Texas. He said, Kelvin Ifon said, not even, you know, people, my family, we don't even tell each other that we love each other. Dick Tomey started saying that he loved me, and Kelvin Ifon said, "What? This guy loves me?
Yeah.
What did I do?" And it was just that genuine love that Dick Tomey showed, and it carried over, because now Kelvin Ifon, Dino Babers even said it earlier during the funeral, "I make sure that my family and I, we love each other, and that's all because of Coach Tomey. It's not just of what he did as a football coach, but what he taught you as a man." And Dom, you know just as much as I do, that right there shows how great of a person he was.
Mm-hmm. Just it's
quality.
It's just it's so much more than college football. And you know, again, that's cliche to say. Sports aren't all about sports and what happens on the field. And Dick Tomey was probably the epitome of that.
Aloha, Coach. You'll be missed. All right, Dom, let's talk some Arizona Wildcats basketball. Did you know Brandon Randolph had a workout with the Sacramento Kings on Friday afternoon? Are you surprised he's getting looks from NBA teams?
No, I'm not surprised. And it's not because he's going to get drafted by the Sacramento Kings. Nobody's going to use one of two or their lone pick on Brandon Randolph. It's just the reality of it. He's looking likely for an Exhibit 10 contract, a two-way deal, any kind of play in the G League. He's just trying to get his name out there and make sure people know his game, know his name, and know what he's all about. It's good networking, working out for the Kings. It's good talking to whoever you can out there. There's a lot of pros with him. I think who'd he work out with on Friday? I know who from Stanford was there.
Was it KZ Opala?
I don't think, maybe it was. Regardless, I mean,
Sharma, maybe?
I think it was Sharma. I think it was Josh Sharma. Yeah. But look, he's working out with people. He's getting to know, and not that he didn't know them, but he's talking to people within the Kings organization. Anyone he works out with is going to benefit him, benefit his chances of getting some kind of deal in the G League in the 2019-20 season. What year are we in? But yeah, again, he's not an NBA guy right now. I mean, I think the best case scenario would be he signs some kind of two-way deal. I think that's a stretch. I think you might see him sign an Exhibit 10 deal like Raleigh Alkins did. Best case, or go play overseas. But again, any kind of exposure is good exposure for a guy like Brandon Randolph.
My thing is, though, we all know that he's not ready to go to the NBA. He flashed potential at the start of the year, but the second half of the season says that he needs to keep his butt in school, you know, and get your education while also polishing up your basketball skills. Now, I say this by saying, or I say this because I don't think Brandon Randolph should have stayed at Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he was going to do anything, he should have transferred somewhere. But unfortunately, you transfer somewhere, you're probably going to have to sit out a year because he's not a graduate transfer. So his options were, okay, I'm either going to come back to Arizona, not start. Because remember, Brandon Randolph started this year. He's not starting on next year's team. He's not starting over Josh Green.
He may not get many minutes. I mean, I think he'd be flexed back into like a role. I guess this is a good transition into Devonair Dutrieve too. He'd play more than Dutrieve did last season, but he'd be in that kind of role. He'd be coming off the bench as, you know, not even a sixth man. He'd be lower than that. And, he obviously didn't want anything to do with that. That's not good for Brandon Randolph. That's not going to improve his draft stock. So go ahead, go to the draft now, try to see if you can get into the NBA. And if not, go play overseas. I think transferring is an interesting prospect. And if he wanted to do that, obviously he would have. He opted to go play right now, whether that's making money overseas or getting exposure in the developmental league for the NBA. I think he wanted to get on with it now as opposed to go sit out a year and prolong the process.
I go overseas, man. If we're weighing options, would you rather go overseas? There's more money overseas.
I go overseas before I transfer, probably, yes.
I go overseas before sitting around in the G League.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People sleep on playing overseas, and that's why RJ Hampton, and we'll talk about him just a little bit, but he's going over to Australia fresh out of high school because they make decent money.
Terrence Ferguson,
former Arizona Wildcat. Like, you see all these guys going overseas before they get their opportunity in the NBA because there's more money. Dom, I was blown away by this stat. Did you know that NBA 2K gamers, professional 2K players, make more than G League players? That is a sad stat. The fact that guys that are sitting there twiddling their thumbs on a controller make more money than the guys actually playing ball in the G League.
And what do you want to do in the G League? I mean, how many times do you see someone come out of the G League and have that much success? Maybe I'm not even saying that, but I mean, you saw Alonzo Trier do it last year, sure, but he always kind of had this deal with the Knicks.
He never even played a game in the G League, though.
And that's kind of my point is he's a bad example, but because he had that deal with the Knicks already. So very rarely do you see someone go from the G League to the NBA and have that kind of success that players want to have, probably when they sign contracts in the G League. But I would much rather go play overseas, make some money, get professional experience. You're playing against guys, professional level players. I mean, they might not be up to the NBA's caliber, but get out of the G League, man.
Just get out of the G League.
Just avoid it, man.
I mean, like a plague.
And if you're on a two-way contract, you know, maybe that's what you want to do. That's what Raleigh Alkins is going through right now, and he played some games with the Chicago Bulls late in last season, but very rarely does it work out the way Alonzo Trier was able to pull it off. Mm.
But, you know, what would you say was Alonzo Trier's best trait coming out of college?
Getting to the rim.
The dude gets buckets.
Yeah.
The dude gets buckets.
Scoring at the rim.
What is Brandon Randolph? What is he good at?
Scoring. Well,
he's athletic.
Yeah. And that was our complaint.
Athleticism
about,
can only take you so far.
That was our complaint about him all last season, is that there's not one thing he did particularly well. But I know we got more basketball to talk about. What's next?
Arizona freshman guard Devonair Dutrieve is officially transferring from the University of Arizona. Dom, I'm kind of sad because, one, Devonair Dutrieve is one hell of a name. Like, I think it would be so cool to see a guy named Devonair ball out at the University of Arizona. That's not happening, though. He's going to be transferring. We don't know where, but it is official. Devonair Dutrieve is leaving the UVA basketball program, which opens up another scholarship spot. And this is what it's all about, right? It's all about getting the 2019-2020 team all in order. But my goodness, I think that there would have been at least a little bit more loyalty to a guy like Devonair Dutrieve. Now, I'm not saying that Sean Miller and the coaching staff kicked him to the curb, but if you're Sean Miller, you have to be like, man, Devonair, you were loyal to us. You were our first commit for the 2018 class. You're the first one to sign. Like, we love you. We want you here at the U of A.
The first domino, right? Well, and he was explosive last year, too. He showed flashes, and I think, should he have stayed? I think this is the situation where Devonair Dutrieve would have really thrived, is if Arizona's recruiting class was blown up for whatever reason in this offseason, and he was kind of one of the only ones left. I think he would have gotten a lot of minutes, and he would have been that exciting, explosive player off the bench. But with everyone coming in, with the recruiting class that Sean Miller is bringing in now, and some of the players coming back, he would play as little as he did last season, and probably a little bit less, unless he made huge strides in the offseason, which hasn't really happened on Sean Miller's watch with any player. So I don't think... I mean, that's what his guardian told our very own Bruce Pascoe, is that Arizona's a good school. It's obviously an exciting place to play, but it's just not a good fit for Devonair Dutrieve. And that's just the reality of the situation. He wasn't going to play very much, and I think he knew that. So why not go be an exciting player elsewhere? I know we always bring up the school St. John's, that Justin Simon, another guard who kind of fell in the shadows of Sean Miller's system behind other guys. He went and played at St. John's and had a very good college career there. I could see Devonair Dutrieve doing something like that, but there just wasn't a spot at Arizona for him. As exciting as he was at times, it just wasn't sustainable enough behind all of the guards who are coming in next season.
Devonair Dutrieve to Michigan? Playing for Juwan Howard?
Could you imagine?
I know.
No way. I'm just
taking a wild guess.
I don't know the kind of recruiting class Michigan has coming in, but he's going to go somewhere where he can play and flash his stuff, because he has it.
He's originally from Texas. I know he played high school ball in L.A. Mm-hmm. at Birmingham High School. That's where Christian Coloco used to play high school ball before he went over to Sierra Canyon. Mm-hmm. But he's originally from Dallas, Texas. How cool would it be for him to play under Shaka Smart at Texas? Mm-hmm. Or play for any Texas school? I'm just taking a wild guess here, but I just hope Devonair Dutrieve has a successful collegiate career. I hope he doesn't go to a super off-the-wall school like Emmanuel Aycott. Like, I've been thinking, man, remember Emmanuel Aycott was a five-star small forward being recruited by all these elite schools.
Yeah, where's Aycott?
And then he transfers to Boise State.
Right, that's right.
I just hope Devonair Dutrieve doesn't go to somewhere off the wall. But I hope he has a successful college career because I thought he was a cool guy. He was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dom, recently, RJ Hampton, 5-star forward who reclassified to the 2019 class, he was down to either Memphis or Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to go to
New Zealand.
There he is.
Went to New Zealand.
The man went to New Zealand to play for the, was it the, what do they call it? The Shock Risers? Or some team down there in
the New Zealand Breakers.
Breakers.
The Breakers.
That's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, cool names over there.
That is cool.
I don't know what. America needs to get its team names in order. The Breakers. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because it's another player that decided, hey, you know what? College isn't for me. I'm going to go overseas. We talked about the money overseas, that there's possibilities. Now, obviously not nearly as much as the NBA because the revenue is as my phone goes off with the ESPN alert. You know, the revenue isn't as high as it is in the NBA, obviously. So you're not making as much money as a typical NBA player, but you are still making pretty good money.
Yeah.
And I think with, you mentioned Terrence Ferguson going overseas, mm-hmm. Brian Bowen, but uh-huh. I mean, he was unique circumstances.
Right.
He was kind of forced to mm-hmm. go overseas.
But still, and look, people are always going to have opinions about this, but when the reality of the situation, imagine you're coming out of high school, you're, RJ Hampton's the number 5 overall recruit in the 2019 class. He just reclassified and he's still number 5. Right now, in the climate of college basketball, of the NCAA, what big schools are going through, would you rather go play for Kansas for a season, essentially risk your career if something happens to you, who knows what happens after that, or would you rather go make money right now, overseas, get professional level experience, play against dudes,
older guys,
play against professional basketball
men.
Players, and then go to the NBA? You know, I mean, he's going to be making money right now. If something happens to him, he's got a little bit of cash in his pocket. Whereas if he goes plays for Kansas, he's doing it for nothing. And he's not graduating from there. So you can't use the argument, well, what about the education? No, this kid's doing what's best for him right now. I'm surprised more people don't do it because he's making money. He's getting professional experience. And then he's going to go play in the NBA. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, has it worked out for people in the past? Think about dudes we just named. Terrence Ferguson, not really. He's in the NBA now. He's bounced around a little bit.
No, he's doing his thing with Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, you're right. Yeah. So, but look.
Brandon Jennings is one that comes to mind, but he went to China.
Yeah. Well, regardless. Overseas is overseas, and you know, you're getting that professional level experience. I think it's a good move. I want to play something for you, Justin, because Richard Jefferson, former Arizona Wildcat, now ESPN analyst, had something interesting to say about RJ Hampton's situation earlier this week on The Jump.
RJ on RJ.
Right, again, it's a step up, right? Is it high-level NCAA basketball? No, but are you playing against bigger, stronger, more athletic people than you would be playing against, obviously, in high school? Yes. So I think it's a great move for him if this is what you want to do. I'm over the NCAA. Like, I think the whole thing is BS. I think it's...
Over it.
Yeah, I went to Arizona. Single year, but we don't know where money can come up, but presidents are making $2 million a year, and it's a non-profit organization. It's like that money's coming from someplace, and to not even let players make money off their likeness. But if this kid, now it's a groundbreaking decision for him to go do what he wants to do versus one semester in college.
That's the perfect explanation.
It's all about money.
Of why you're going overseas. It's all about money. Here's some guys, a graphic on that Jump segment. Guys who played in New Zealand and then went on to play in the NBA. Steven Jackson, Andrew Bogut, Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, and Terrence Ferguson. All of them have played, Steven Jackson played almost 900 games in the NBA. Bogut is an NBA champion. Patty Mills, over 600 games, NBA champion. Ingles, 406 games. And Terrence Ferguson, now 135 games in the NBA.
Bogut and Mills, those are Aussie-born. That doesn't
right.
count.
No, I know. I know that. And I think, and they didn't do it straight from college. I get that. Andrew Bogut, a standout at Utah.
Yeah.
That's just notable NBA players to play in New Zealand. But that's my point, is that he's getting experience over there. Sure, I'm not saying the Big 12 is low key, but he's playing against guys in New Zealand. Now, the interesting part with RJ Hampton, what people kind of took issue to, is that apparently he knew a month before he announced that he was going overseas.
Really?
He knew a month before. But look, sure, that's wrong, right? That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's kind of messed up. But look, man, does it affect you, Justin?
No.
Does it affect me?
No.
Does it affect anyone listening to this podcast? So let this kid do what he's going to do. He's going to make mistakes. Sure, he should have told Bill Self and Penny. Like, yeah, tell the coaches. Don't hold him out for a month like this. But in the end, go do you. Go play overseas. Make your money. Go to the NBA. Nothing but the best of luck to RJ Hampton getting his. Again, I'm surprised more people don't do that. I think you're going to see more people do it with the climate of the NCAA right now. I'd be surprised if more people don't take this route. And I think RJ Hampton opens that door kind of the same way Devin Dutrieu kind of opened the door for people to commit to Arizona. I think a lot more people are going to go play overseas now. That's just the reality of it.
Get that money, RJ. Coming up next on the Wildcast podcast, Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo was in Tucson for Dick Tomey's funeral. He joined me on ESPN Tucson on Friday to celebrate the life of Arizona's all-time winningest head coach. Let's go to Ken. Well, today was a celebration of life for Arizona's all-time winningest head coach, Dick Tomey. And here with us, joining us on the Desert Diamond Casino Sports Line, is Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo. Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. And your words today was very inspirational. I guess my first question is, what kind of impact did Coach Tomey have on you?
Well, I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Coach Tomey, and I'm just one of thousands. You know, all the players that played for him here, you know, at the University of Arizona, all the players that played for him at the University of Hawaii, obviously all those at San Jose State. You know, I'm just a player, though, but there's so many other people as far as, you know, administration, secretary, custodians, just anybody involved with the football department. It's kind of interesting as they talked about how Coach Tomey also, you know, went and watched other sports and watched the softball team or the baseball team. I mean, that's just Coach Tomey to a T. Just, he was a great football coach, but he was a developer of men, and I think that's what separates him from other coaches that I've been around, other coaches that I've seen. You can't measure Coach Tomey's importance by wins and losses, even though he won a ton of games. It's by how he changed people's lives, and I'm just one of many that, you know, whose life he changed.
You know, Ken, you're from Hawaii, and Coach Tomey, we know what he did at Hawaii. Still to this day, he is Hawaii's all-time winningest head coach. For somebody that's from the state of Hawaii, what is Dick Tomey? What does he mean to that state?
People in Hawaii still love Coach Tomey. I mean, the love that people have for Coach Tomey hasn't changed one iota. People just, I mean, he's revered on the islands. And I think the thing about Coach Tomey was that, I'm sure it's the same way here. He embraced the people when he came. When he came to the Hawaii, he was a guy from the from the mainland. But he embraced people like he grew up in Hawaii. And like I said, I'm sure he did the same thing when he came to Tucson. It wasn't a deal where a coach was coming in and trying to find the next job, or he was there and he invested in his people. He invested in the program. He invested in the state. Invested in the school, and we all love them. And like I said, to this day, people in the islands, still love and revere Dick Tomey.
Do you have any personal memories of Coach Tomey? Is there one that really just stands out to you that you will always share, just a personal moment or just any moment that you've had with Coach Tomey?
Well, there's so many. I just think about myself. I wasn't a blue chip recruit or anything, but Coach Tomey made everybody feel special. He made everybody feel like you were the most important guy. But I think the thing that I will always cherish whether it's a text or whether it's a phone call, I would always get messages from Coach, or, you know, we would talk after different games. But it was always refreshing after a big win or a big loss that I had. He would always be there, and I'd always have a text from Coach Tomey, hang in there, you know, you're doing a great job. You know, or you might have some technical advice, just in a loving way, though. Hey, you know, maybe you guys can do this. And I always, you know, look forward to those times. But I think the thing that I thought about today at the funeral is, at one of the meetings that we were at, you know, Coach Tomey is there, and I haven't seen him in a while, and, you know, we just embraced, and he grabbed me by, you know, his hands with, by both cheeks, and he kind of just talking to me, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's like, you know, as I, you know, I'm a grandfather, and, you know, I have my own grandkids and stuff, but Coach Tomey still treated you like you're one of his sons. And it was cool because as I saw the picture today, he held Coach Paterno's face the same way. So it was just, it's just him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He just loves guys. You know what I mean, Justin? He's just, he is who he is, and there's nothing phony about him. You know what I mean? He's just, he's such a genuine person that loves people. Mm-hmm.
Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo joins the Sports Exchange right here on ESPN Tucson. And coach, you know, when Arizona was looking for a new head coach, you were one of the names that was a strong candidate. Why did you consider Arizona, or was the job even offered to you? And did you even think about maybe coming to Arizona because of what Coach Tomey did here?
Well, I definitely thought about it. I mean, this school has a, you know, a great tradition. Obviously, Coach Tomey being here, and you know, I know all the great things that have happened, and this school has a great tradition, football wise, you know, athletically, there are a lot of things about it, and so it was a school that I definitely looked at. But a big part of it, you know, had to be Coach Tomey and who he was, and I know he was a guy that had been here, and, but no, it was definitely a school that I, you know, that I was interested in.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the Polynesian community as well. I mean, can you just talk about what Coach Tomey did for the Polynesian community? I mean, just outside of Hawaii, I know Joe Salavea was on the podium today talking about, it wasn't just Hawaii, but it was also American Samoa and also the Pacific Islands.
I think Coach Tomey, as Joe said, I think Coach Tomey was the original guys that, you know, not only recruited Hawaii, like you said, but recruited Samoa, you know, start to look at New Zealand, Australia, Tonga, and other places. You know, now you see in a lot of the Pac-12 schools, most Pac-12 rosters have a lot of Polynesians on it. And so a lot of, you know, schools in the Pac-12 recruit the islands. That all started with Dick Tomey. And there are other guys that came, you know, Coach McBride, Lavelle at Utah, Lavelle Edwards at BYU. But Coach Tomey was one of the originators in recruiting the islands.
Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo joins the Sports Exchange right here on ESPN Tucson. And Ken, when you look back on Coach Tomey's life, if there's anything that you could tell him right now, what are you saying?
Well, just that, you know, we all loved him. You know, all of the players, and I think you heard people talk about it today, how, you know, we love Coach. And I feel good about it that, as a grown man, I could say that to him, and he could say it back to me. And we, you know, we always exchange that at the end of our discussion. Hey, Coach, I love you. I love you too, Kenny. It wasn't anything that, you know, that we're too macho to do, or it was not, you know, something inappropriate. It was pure love that we would talk to each other. But a lot of things that I do with my football program, I got from Coach Tomey, as far as somebody that's, ball security efforts, toughness, special teams, a lot of the things that I did with Coach Tomey.
Was there a special catchphrase that he had that maybe you use today while you coach?
Just ball security. He was a fanatic on ball security, and I know it's something that I also did a ton of, just with ball security. If you didn't hold the ball high and tight, if you didn't take care of the ball, Coach told me he would get after you. He's a little fanatical about that. And I'm the same way. People will see me, you know, off the field and say, man, you're a pretty low-key, mellow guy. And they've seen me on the field, you know, become a tyrant. if you don't have the tip up. But all of that I learned from Coach Tomey. Effort and running to the football, that's one thing that we pride ourselves at Navy, and I got all of that, you know, that I learned from Coach Tomey as far as running to the football and playing with great effort.
Again, that's Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo joining the Sports Exchange on ESPN Tucson. Coach, once again, we'd just like to thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you have a busy travel schedule getting back to Maryland, but thank you so much for joining the show.
All right, just thanks for having me. You guys take care.
Thank you, Coach.